Do you use public transportation? According to a new report, more people are hopping on buses and trains and commuter rail all around the country. Ridership is at its highest level in 58 years, and there was a 1.1% increase last year from the year before. So why do you suppose this is? And what would it take to increase public transit numbers even more? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, March 11th. We will talk with a transportation analyst and we'll welcome your questions and your reactions. What would it take for you to ride the bus more? Or do you? And why? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. But while this national report says that ridership of public transit is up around the country, some local reports saying that in Wisconsin, some Wisconsin communities are seeing a slight decrease in bus ridership. We'll wonder about that as well. So let's talk with our guest. Alan Pisarski is a writer, analyst, and consultant in transportation research, policy, and investment. Good morning.
Hi, good morning to you.
Thanks for being with us. I understand that you you know Wisconsin. You're a Milwaukee native who now lives in Washington, D.C.
That's correct, yeah. Still have a lot of family in the Milwaukee area.
Well, welcome back to Wisconsin via the radio. So, well, first let's look at this from a broader perspective. The report from the American Public Transportation Association shows there were 10.7 billion trips last year, or an increase of 1.1% from the year before. Mm-hmm. That's up 32% from 1995. The popularity of public transportation at its highest level in about 58 years. So what's going on here?
Well, a couple of things. Obviously, the important part of it is there's been a lot of investment in many metropolitan areas around the country, and even in some rural areas, where we are seeing more funding moving towards transit, and that's helping stimulate people's interest. Part of it is has been perhaps the reaction to the economy, the recession. We've seen declines in people buying cars. We've seen people delaying improving their vehicle, and so the average age of cars has gotten greater and greater. We're up to around 11 years for the average age of a vehicle. So I think there is a lot of compiling things that are coming together to help support the growth, the regrowth, I guess you could call it, in transit.
Yeah, the authors of the report did note that ridership was higher in like the 60s and 70s, but that we probably won't see the high numbers like that again. Do you agree?
No, I don't think so. If you think about it in terms of percentages, the percentage of people commuting back in the 60s, we were talking 11-12% of the population. Today, we got down around 4.5%, and it's now come back a little bit, almost to 5%. But to see it grow much more than 5% of the total commuting population out into the future, I think would be really a tough stretch. Just holding on to that 5% share nationally will be a very positive step, I think, for the transit industry.
And we'll talk a little bit about that in a moment, but in 1960, when it was about 12% of all commuters, why was it so much higher than compared to now?
Well, just think back of that era. The two factors that are really of substantial importance is that the percentage of people who knew how to drive, particularly think of women at that in that period, a lot of them, A, did not have a license, and B, didn't have access to a vehicle. And if there was a vehicle in the household, typically it was one. And so hubby took the car, and the wife who was working very often ended up on transit. Today, that has really shifted. There's a real symmetry between workers and cars. And we see women actually a higher proportion of women drive alone to work than men these days, which is, you know, really a dramatic change in the long-term pattern. So it's basically access to vehicles, access to automobiles, and the change in the nature of the kinds of work that people do. I think that's all affected that ability of transit to compete.
Yeah, I do remember in the 60s. My dad was in a carpool, though. But do they yes. include carpools in public transportation or no?
Yeah, no, I don't. The statistics mm-hmm. we're talking about are basically public transportation, the kind of thing you buy a ticket for or pay a fare for. Mm-hmm. But carpooling has also suffered, and for exactly the same reasons. If you go back into the 60s, you were talking about 20% of the people carpooling, and particularly a town like Milwaukee, carpooling was very significant because a lot of carpooling is focused on factory work and construction work.
Mm-hmm.
And now carpooling is down below 10% nationally, and I don't know what it is in Wisconsin. We could take a look at and figure it out. But that decline, again, is a product of the fact of people having more access to their own personal vehicles and just wanting to be able to go when they want to go and come back when they want to come back.
Yeah, I wanted to talk a little bit about that. You mentioned that today only, 4.5 to 5% of commuters are using public transit. And the vast majority of us are still apparently preferring our cars.
Yes.
And that's just because we want that independence? Or why do you suppose that is?
A big factor is independence. It's the ability to come and go when you choose. It may be that the convenience of transit doesn't fit your situation. People aren't willing to locate near a transit facility, so they're saying, well, I can get to work from there. And of course, the nature of work has changed. If you go back into the 60s, more likely people were working in larger facilities and a fixed schedule so that, 8 o'clock, somebody blew the whistle, everybody went to work. A couple thousand people working in a facility. Today, the more typical situation is spread hours of work, smaller units, 50 to 100 people in the office that people are in, and living in a dispersed situation in the suburbs, probably working in a dispersed situation in the suburbs. The typical pattern today is much more suburb to suburb than the old Ozzie and Harriet, live in the suburbs, work downtown kind of a situation.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those things just make it a little less likely to have someone to carpool with or to use transit.
Well, in Wisconsin, when we think of public transportation, we might think of buses right
yes.
away. But this report, and you say rail is what's where it's really happening, that
yes,
that's
yeah.
where the growth is.
That's where the dramatic investments have been made in most metropolitan areas where they're investing. They are trying to get people, the sense is that people really prefer to be on steel wheels, on steel rails, as opposed to rubber tires in the street. And that seems to be where some of the success is, that you put in light rail systems, you put in trolley systems, etc., and people use them. It tends to be an expensive way to attract people compared to a bus, but it does seem to in many cases, to have been effective in terms of adding to ridership.
Yeah. Some local stories looked into this report on public transportation nationwide, but noted that bus ridership in Wisconsin, in some Wisconsin communities, public buses are losing riders. Milwaukee, Racine, ridership is down. Madison, apparently, a tiny tick upwards.
Mm-hmm.
But the buses, apparently, in Wisconsin are not seeing big gains in
no.
riders.
No, they're not. In fact, yeah, there's been a fairly substantial loss in Milwaukee, for sure.
Yeah, and the Fox River Valley saw a slight uptick as well, but Why do you suppose that is? That buses in Milwaukee or in some other communities in Wisconsin are actually seeing a decline, when I noticed some other bigger cities it was seeing an increase.
Well, this is a very difficult era to understand what's going on. We're still in the, I guess, the shadow of the recession. And it's very difficult to determine whether, in fact, we're seeing something that's simply a reflection of the poor economy or the poor recovery from a bad situation, or are we looking at something new, something you might call it the new normal. And you read and see a lot about the fact that the world has changed, and it's not clear that the world has dramatically changed, or it's just the fact that unemployment is still high in a lot of areas. The kinds of jobs that people are doing are different, and just part of a long-term national trend. The aging out of the work population, I think, is another big factor. As people get older, they tend to move away from transit towards the use of their private personal vehicles.
Yeah. All right. So
it's a whole package of things. It's a difficult. I don't know what the employment situation is in Milwaukee these days, but it may still be having problems.
We are talking with Alan Pisarski. He is a writer, analyst, and consultant in transportation research, policy, and investment. We're talking about a new report that shows mass transportation is rising in popularity, that it is at its highest level in 58 years. We're talking about why more people, a 1.1% increase last year from the year before, more people are hopping aboard the nation's trains and commuter rail and trolleys and buses, and how we might be able to even maintain or even increase those numbers. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Do you use public transportation? Why or why not? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We are talking with a guest transportation analyst about a new study, a new report that shows mass transportation continues to rise in popularity in the country. And we're welcoming your questions and your experiences. So, do you ride the bus or the train instead of driving? What would make you do so more often, if anything? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking with Alan Pisarski. He is a writer, analyst, and consultant in transportation research and policy and investment. He's a Milwaukee native who now lives in the Washington, D.C. area. And he used to visit Madison quite frequently to talk about transportation issues on the UW campus. I wanted to ask you about that, Alan, in that some recent reports were saying that young people today, and maybe it's being led by the students, are not driving as much. It didn't say exactly what they were doing in precise detail otherwise, but that driving was down. Maybe they're taking the bus more, or maybe they're riding their bikes more. Or is that happening? Is the younger generation driving less?
Yes, it's a very, very clear pattern. Of course, a lot of people are driving less, again, going back to just the general economic situation. But we've seen it much more virulently among young people, by young people, let's say under 35. The young workers, the 16 to 24, and then the 25 to 35 age groups, are both down considerably. This is again a product of the economy, people losing their cars, not being able to afford their cars, children not being able to use their parents' cars, or even delaying learning how to drive. A lot of kids staying in college or going back to college and being in situations where walking and biking are or maybe free transit is available, and so the automobile just is much less a part of their world. That's a segment of the young population. We shouldn't get carried too far away on that. There are a lot of other young people who are working in kind of the lower skilled occupations where the orientation to the car is still there to get to factory work, to get to construction work, to get to the more physically demanding kinds of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very much a job situation. The unemployment rates are very high among the young populations, 20% in many metro areas, particularly in the minority groups.
I get it. Eugene in Viola is with us. Hi, Eugene.
Good morning, Joy. Organic Valley, the national headquarters for Organic Valley, is up here in Lafarge, about 6 miles north of us. They run buses to Tolma and La Crosse, and there may be other places they go, but I know those two. They run buses to Tolma and La Crosse to pick up their employees.
Oh, isn't that so? This is a private company that has its own bus service in a somewhat rural part of Wisconsin, Alan.
Yeah, this is something we're seeing more and more, and I certainly marvel at it and really encourage it. It is a reaction to the perhaps lack of adequate service on the part of public transportation people, but it's also just a way to get at employees. Despite the unemployment, high unemployment, there's a lot of competition to get good workers, skilled workers, particularly if the firm is specialized, whether in whatever activity it might be. The great example of it is Microsoft out in Seattle. They have the third largest bus fleet in the whole metropolitan area of Seattle. They run, well, they call it the running of the programmers. The programmers all tend to live downtown near the university, and they all commute out to the suburbs on buses with their laptops going blazing away.
So would there be a chance that private transit services could replace public transit?
Well, not so much replace, but certainly a substantial supplement. And I think it's a very effective tool that really I would love to see more of it happening. We see it in some cases here in the Washington area where firms will have buses, vans that run back and forth between the subway and their office facilities, maybe their factory facilities. And that kind of an activity on the part of firms, I really think is an important part of the future. By the way, one of the leaders in the country, I mentioned Microsoft, but another leader in the country is over in Minneapolis, is the 3M company, and they for many years heavily supported van pooling, large 12, 15 person vans to bring people in.
Mm-hmm.
And you see a lot of that, for instance, in the universities as well, where the support help are brought in by vans that are owned by the universities.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a wonderful, wonderful situation and really needs to be encouraged.
Karen in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Karen.
Yeah, hi. I was telling your screener, my nephew and I were just having this conversation last night as I was driving 26 miles one way to take him to work because his car broke down. In Milwaukee and Wisconsin and its suburbs, there's just terrible public transportation link-up. And so, you know, in a situation like this, if you have a car problem and there's no one there to help you, you can lose your job. It's the most ineffective bus system I've ever seen. I mean, it helps some people. Some people from some suburbs can use a frequent flyer, but it is not a mass transit system that helps. And I also, you know, worked in Milwaukee, and a woman who worked where I worked, she would take the bus, but she could take the bus to work, but the bus stopped at a certain time, so she couldn't get the bus home. So she stopped, you know, taking the bus and actually took a cab, if you can believe that, to work. So, I mean, the system here is so terrible, and I hate to go back to Governor Walker, but it's just like this hostility to public transportation was like, you know, cut off your nose to spite your face situation, except it's spiting all of us who have to do things like drive 26 miles round trips to get someplace.
We only have a minute before news time. Alan, can you briefly react to that?
Well, it It's always a difficult problem with laying out transit facilities, whether or not you can get from where people are to where they want to go. Because of the job situation and the dispersed nature of jobs, it gets harder and harder. That's why I mentioned I think the van idea is a really stronger idea than a very large bus trying to get you to where you're going. It's just very difficult to serve the demand pattern.
We are talking about a new report that shows that ridership of public transportation is rising in popularity in the country. It's now at its highest level since 1956, I think. But we are not at the numbers that we were in the 1960s, 70s, and 80s. However, it is up 1.1% increase from last year, from the year before. And we're talking about why this is and what the future of public transportation is at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network. A new report shows public transportation ridership went up 1.1% last year from the year before. However, it also shows bus ridership is slipping in some Wisconsin communities, including Milwaukee and Racine. We are talking about the reasons behind these numbers. We're welcoming your questions and thoughts on mass transportation use, its past, its present, and its future. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 7:37 on this Tuesday, March 11th. According to this report from the American Public Transportation Association, there were 10.7 billion trips on buses, trains, and commuter rail last year. That's a 32% increase since 1995. What would it take to increase the numbers even more? What do you think? Do you use mass transportation? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Alan Pisarski, a writer, analyst, consultant in transportation research, policy, and investment. And let's take a caller who's been waiting through news, Chris in New Berlin. Hello, Chris.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thanks. Yeah, I was wondering, first of all, I take the bus a lot. I love the bus, stress-free. I can get things done on my way to work. I take the freeway flyer. I live a little further out. I either ride my bike or take my car to the bus pickup and leave it there, and then I can get there peacefully. However, you know, this winter has definitely minimized my bus riding, and I'm just wondering if that has anything to do with the current rate of ridership. And I'm also wondering if the decreased ridership has anything to do with the fewer buses on the route, because obviously our Wisconsin legislature is no friend of mass and public transportation.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. The numbers we're talking about were from 2013, I believe, and so that wouldn't take into account, well, I guess we did have some cold weather at the very end of the year. So what about her thoughts as to why we might see a decrease in bus ridership in Wisconsin?
I don't think there's any question about the impact of weather. There's a way in which we look at these trips and ask people about them. And if you ask people, what do you typically do on average, a very high proportion will say they take transit. But then if you say to them in the course of the conversation, how did you get to work yesterday, then you get a much smaller percentage. And I think it's simply because a lot of people set out with the good intention, if you will, of using transit, but then the day is cold, the day is raining, snowing, don't want to stand in that bus stop too long, or I've got things to do after work, I've got to make stops on the way to or from, and a lot of life intrudes, and so a lot of that kind of dissuades people from continuing to use transit. So they start out very often with that view But then we will see that they shift away from that.
Yeah, and as for the, I guess, public support of public transportation in states that have been tightening their budget belts, are mass transit systems feeling the pain?
Without question, and a lot of transit properties, especially during the recession, actually had to cut back on service. The transit costs have been high, and they've been expensive to build new facilities and to provide services. And I think there is a reaction on the part of the public sometimes about the argument of, well, we just either have to cut service or raise fares. And so fares tend to go up, and that pushes people away. So I think there is a lot of room for greater efficiency in the system and better ways in which to handle the traffic that we need to address. Some of the properties around the country may be a little bit slower to react than others. And legislatures are squeezed really rather dramatically and trying to meet all the demands that are being put on them. And it's a tough and current and economic environment just about everywhere.
But Chris says that she loves the peace and quiet, I guess, and the lack of stress being on a bus rather than being in a traffic jam.
That's one of the, I think, the factors today is that a lot of people, particularly on the rail transit, feel like, you know, they can read a book, they can play with their cell phones or whatever, and so there is that opportunity and that they're letting somebody else worry about the stress of dealing with the traffic, whether it's the bus driver or someone else. And so the fact that it may be and typically is slower to be on transit than to be in your own vehicle, still people find that the relief from having to be focused all the time on what's happening with the car in front of you, does attract people.
Marsh on Facebook says, I've used mass transit in cities like Boston and Chicago. It works well because ridership is so high that buses, trains, etc. come frequently and regularly. What would it take for me to use the bus more in Madison? It would be many, many more people making the same choice so that those buses would come to my side of Madison, the very far southwest side, much more frequently. It's silly that it takes 20 minutes to drive to my daughter's downtown apartment, but 60 minutes to bus it.
Yeah.
And sometimes the routes will bring you, you know, to the transit center and out of your way, and it just takes a lot longer sometimes. What about Marsha's experience?
The typical average situation is that a transit trip will be roughly double the automobile trip. I mean, that's on a national average basis. And that is something that, as I say, people sometimes accommodate to, and they make that trade-off because of the advantages that one of your listeners just cited. But again, very often, especially given today's very broad and dispersed origins and destinations that people are trying to serve, it's just not possible to have transit service everywhere going everywhere else. The number of people, for instance, one of the statistics that I keep track of is the percentage of people who leave their home county to work, and that number has been rising over the years. It's now up around 25-26% of people work in a different county than the one they live in, and so we're not living close to work anymore. And for many very sound reasons, it's not that I'm suggesting everybody has to live by the factory gate anymore. Particularly a town like Milwaukee, and probably Madison as well, you have multiple workers in a household, and so whose job are you going to live close to? People change jobs quite frequently these days, and so you're not going to move every time you change a job, and so. The convenience of your work trip is really, we all complain about it, but really it's probably very far down on people's list of things that really matter to them when they're looking for a job and when they're looking for a place to live.
Do communities the size of Madison and Milwaukee or any other mid to somewhat larger cities in the state of Wisconsin, do we have the population and the potential ridership to support train commuting?
Probably not. Milwaukee, I know, has looked at it from time to time over the years, and there has been some services. But given the costs and the ability to produce those systems reasonably and to have corridors where the ridership is sufficiently dense to make it worthwhile, I certainly can't say no, but I would suspect that it would be a tough benefit cost trade-off to make that possible. If you look around the country, the number of places, for instance, where you have more than, say, 10% of people using transit is really very limited. The listener that just spoke probably named about half of them. You've got Boston, New York, Washington, Chicago, and I'm beginning to run out, maybe San Francisco. And then there's a whole tier of second level of cities like Seattle, where maybe you're getting 6 or 7%. But after, below that, it's really kind of small. In Milwaukee, I believe it's under 4%, is under the national average.
Yeah, now, I don't know if you can pull this figure out of your hat, but I thought that Hiawatha train that went from Milwaukee to Chicago and
yes.
back was doing all right.
I don't know what the financial situation of that was. I know that it ran for a number of years, and it was a very attractive commuter rail system. I guess I don't know enough about the financials of that situation.
Mm-hmm.
But commuter rail, which is kind of what the Hiawatha falls on, into the category of, has been, by and large, rather successful around the country. It's a strange situation because typically you think of a transit, particularly bus transit, as serving people who may not have cars, lower-income people, but commuter rail tends to serve higher-income people. In fact, it's typically the average income of people using commuter rail is higher than almost any other form of transportation. And the goal is to get those skilled workers to jobs somewhere else. In this case, I guess a lot of it is going to Chicago or the Chicago suburban area.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say about its financials, but my producer director looked it up, and as of last August, it had topped its monthly ridership record of 80,000. I guess it's getting record ridership anyway.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing more and more of that. As I mentioned about inter-county flows, we shouldn't be shocked to see people traveling 30, 40 miles. That's getting to be more and more of a factor. People live in Sacramento and work in San Francisco. People live in Pennsylvania and work in downtown New York. Here in the Washington metropolitan area, more than half of the people in Virginia, more than half of the workers in Virginia, leave their home county to work. And that's a lot of it, of course, because of government employment here. And Maryland right next door is almost 50%, I think 49%. So we are seeing people being willing to go farther distances, greater distances, to get to the kind of jobs that they hope they can fill.
We are talking about public transportation, mass transit, and its ridership. Saw 1.1% increase last year from the year before, and now it's at its highest level in nearly 58 years. We're talking about why that is, how it can be maintained, those numbers can be maintained, and what the future will bring. And we're welcoming your questions. We're welcoming your reactions. We're wondering about your experiences. Do you use public transportation? Do you ride the bus to work? Why or why not? What would it take to get you to use the bus more often? Would you use a commuter rail? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. What do you think would make mass transportation even better? This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with a transportation expert about a new report about public transportation in this country, and we're welcoming your thoughts and questions for him. Alan Pisarski is a writer, analyst, and consultant in transportation research, policy, and investment. Let's go next to Jim in Wisconsin Rapids. Hello, Jim.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good.
I have a comment. Many years ago, I lived in South America for about 3 years where mass transit is very convenient and relied upon by most people down there. And one of the things that I always thought when I came back to the States was that we down there, they run smaller buses more frequently. It's very rare that you would stand on a corner more than 5 minutes and wait for a bus to get where you wanted to go. And here they run such infrequent stops and these huge buses around small towns. It just seems to me if you downsize the size of the transportation and ran them more frequently, that would be more convenient and more attractive for people. And I don't know how that works out economically for the transit companies. I know they'd have to hire more drivers and such, but I just thought I'd throw that comment out.
Yeah. What about that idea, Alan?
Well, he's absolutely right. I've done a lot of work in South America, and you have buses kind of tripping over each other in some of the main roads. A part of that, of course, is the fact that auto ownership is much less than many of those countries, and so there is a greater demand for and use of transit. But he's also absolutely right about the frequency of service. For some reason, and I can't pretend to explain it, there's a much greater tendency to say, well, as long as you're going to buy a bus, you might as well buy one that can carry a lot of people. And so you get to see buses with five people on them, and it's designed for 45 people. And we just very rarely see smaller vehicles being used. Part of that, of course, is labor cost and having so many the cost of the driver is a big factor in what's happening. But there's no question that that would really help service. I mean, in many cases, people find that walking beats the bus simply because of the waiting time at the bus stop to catch. If you miss one bus, you've got a long wait for the next one. And so it really is transit-dependent people who have to kind of stick with it. If somebody has a better option where even walking or bicycling begins to make more sense.
Yeah. Let's take another call from Jeanette in Milwaukee. Hello, Jeanette.
Hi, thank you. The problem of bus transportation isn't only for jobs, but with a growing senior population who, because of aging, won't be able to drive, we need to think outside of the box. I'm no Miss Daisy. I wish I had my own private chauffeur. I'm 81. So when I downsized and moved to a condo, I made sure it was near a bus line so that I could get around if that should ever happen. However, 6 months after I moved here, the bus line was terminated.
Oh.
And so I am worried that when I won't be able to drive, I'll be stuck here. I won't be able to go anywhere. So I would suggest something I think somebody in St. Paul is thinking of is having smaller buses or vans pick up people in neighborhoods and to drop them off at a main bus line so that they can go to a concert or have lunch somewhere and not be stuck in their homes, which is very depressing.
Yeah, gosh, I'm sorry that happened, Jeanette. Is that happening, Alan?
Yeah, and I think her point is very well taken. And I think we are seeing more and more of that. Communities, whether they're church groups or others, I've consulted with a number of them where they simply want to provide services to seniors, whether it's kind of like a daycare service for seniors where they bring them into a church facility or another community facility and have small vans circulating. I really think a lot of the future is going to be supported by that kind of service. We, in the neighborhood that I live in, we now have what I call young old folks helping older old folks, or people who go over and maybe take them to the doctor or drive them to some services that they need to. And I think that's going to be a pattern that we're going to see increasingly in the future. I keep hoping that the automated vehicle is going to get here just in time, but I'm afraid it isn't going to get here quite soon enough.
Well, yeah, the driverless one. But what other trends might we see in the future? I read that smartphones might make it easier to take mass transit.
What you're seeing more and more is the kind of melding together of communications technologies. You're seeing people being able to just click their phone and say, I'm here and I want to go there, and you'll get taxi cabs, you'll get other drivers saying, well, I'm going that way, and for $2, I'll drop you off. We're going to see more and more of that kind of a melding of communications and transportation, and I think it's going to be a very potentially very positive thing. There's going to be problems with regulation and safety and insurance and other factors involved. But it's much more prevalent today than it has been, and you couple that with the autonomous vehicle, the vehicle where someday where it'll show up without a driver and say where would you like to go, and you say go to my doctor, and it'll take you there and wait for you.
Yeah,
that day isn't coming too soon, but it's in the future.
Thank you very much for being with us.
My great pleasure. Love to always visit with folks out in Milwaukee. I'm sorry it's getting a bit cold.
I know. Do you believe it? Well, thanks again for being with us. Alan Pisarski is a writer, analyst, and consultant in transportation, research, policy, and investment. He's a Milwaukee native who now lives in the Washington, D.C. area. Talking with us about this report on transportation from the American Public Transportation Association. We have posted that report as well as a Wisconsin story on that report on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Christy Taylor, and to Robin Cherry for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. It's another edition of On Your Money coming up next. And I hope that you will tune in tomorrow at this time for our big question debate. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.